The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
But my point being is, what a contrast from back then till now. You know, back then, they couldn't keep them quiet if you wanted. It says we can't but help to speak the things that we've seen and heard. And now, we have to basically beg people to come out and be part of an evangelistic outreach.
Hello and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who has been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he's traveled the entire continental U.S., preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience and the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the program. If you haven't figured it out by now, I have been doing a monthly broadcast instead of a weekly broadcast. And so this month, September, we want to start the month off by telling you what is in store for this month's program. I've entitled this episode, Tracks and the Printed Page. Now, we have talked about using tracks in past shows and talked about handing out materials. Of course, we being here on First Love Radio, we have First Love Publications, which is a big part of our ministry. And so we are in depth in the idea of handing out the printed page. I like to hand out Gospels of John. In fact, later you're going to hear a little commercial about that, the Gospels of John, using those in your outreaches. Of course, Bibles are always good. The nice thing about tracts are the fact that they're short and sweet, they're small, you can print a lot of them for a cheap amount of cost, depending on how fancy you want to get with the, you know, the colors and the whatever type of cardboard you might use. But we're going to be getting into that. But I would just want to welcome you to the show and tell you what's going on with me. But before I even do that, if some of you out there may have heard, our pastor, Joe Jackowitz, who is president of First Love Ministries and all of its facets, and of course, he also pastors Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, he has been diagnosed with what they call acute leukemia. And so he was on Chris Arnzen's program, which is aired here on First Love, Iron Sharpens Iron, about a week ago, I guess it was now. Anyway, you can go to his website, Chris Arnzen, ironsharpensiron.com, and get that past broadcast, or you could probably find it on our Christ Bible Church website as well, christbiblechurch.org, and listen. It's very inspiring how Pastor Joe has taken the news of getting this tremendously deadly disease and how he's dealing with it. And so you'll hear from him, but we want you to lift him up in prayers, of course. We want to ask the Lord for a healing. And of course, he, I believe, is already being glorified in the faith that Pastor Joe has exhibited because of God's grace in his life and God's hand upon him. So that's kind of a little bit of a news update there. What's going on with me? I have, for the most part, settled down here now in the city of Citrus Heights. It's a suburb of Sacramento, California, here in the United States. And as you know, I've traveled across the country over the last several years preaching the gospel in the many cities. And I've done a lot of migration, if you will, kind of a vagabond, living in my van. Part of the reason I wanted to get a place, more of a home base, is to relieve some of my health issues. It makes it harder to travel. It makes it harder to live out of a van with, you know, it's not fully equipped or contained. In other words, you have to go to the bathroom in a grocery store or someone's house. There's no bathroom in the van. There's no way to cook other than I use a little propane or butane stove I have. And it was very useful to have that van, believe me. And I got a little bit tired of living that way when I wasn't on the march, as I call it, that is on the go, traveling from one town to another, different states. It's a lot easier to live out of a van when you're in that type of mode. If you're just kind of hovering around one city, it makes it a little difficult. It's hard to explain, but I got a little bit tired of living in a van, and of course the rent here in the Bay Area and in California is very high. I can't afford a place by myself, so I rented a room basically. I think I mentioned that I was going to do that, but I've rented a room here. I don't want to get into all the long, boring details to you, but I'm located here. I'm in the process of trying to find a local church to settle in. I'm going back to a very familiar church here in the area, Calvary Chapel. It is not a Reformed church, of course, but I do like the way they go through the Bible, and that's a lot of my church background. I was a member of Christ Bible Church for 7 years there in Pleasanton. It's too far to drive on Sunday, so I need to find a church up here. The nice thing about the Calvary Chapel of Roseville, where I was attending on visits up here, is that they know who I am. And in fact, they've supported me in the past, even with finances, and supported the street preaching ministry. I feel that I'm familiar face there, but I do know some other churches in the area. They're good churches, know a lot of people. What am I going to do here is the question. As I seek the Lord's will, because I'm not traveling, I want to model, actually, the ministry I'm going to be doing here after a friend of mine in California. He's been on the program before, Jerry Benson. He's in San Diego. And Jerry, he has helpers. He has a ministry called Fishers of Men. And he goes out several times a week, and he catches a lot of events there. There's lots of events in San Diego. He goes to the colleges. He goes to Balboa Park. When I go down there, of course, I go downtown. He's gone with me downtown and preached on the street corners of downtown San Diego. But he has that area covered quite well for just a handful of people. Sure, there's other people out there witnessing. We don't see too many out there in the fields, but God knows who he has out there. We're always praying to the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers for the harvest. But I admire Jerry because he has that area covered. It's almost like if you think of the, you know, like the military or something, where he's assigned to a specific city or a geographical territory, and he's responsible for that territory, and he does what he can to witness to the people that come through there. Now, San Diego, of course, has a lot of tourists as well. One of the things I found over the years is, of course, the local church and pastors, of course, they have an interest in wanting to get to the local people because they can disciple them. The idea is that no tourist that comes in on a cruise ship or something is going to likely go to your church. They don't even live in your area, and so witnessing to them is sometimes, unfortunately, it's felt like a waste of time for some church people. Of course, for the true evangelists, it doesn't really matter where they're from or who they are, because they are lost souls in need of a Savior. So we like to cover the ground in our territory, whether that is tourists or not. So I want to do that up here in Sacramento. I've preached here many a times over the years. It is so close to the Bay Area. I lived up here for a couple of years back in 2010. So I'm not a stranger to this town. And I'm going to get back into the swing of things. Of course, just recovering for my hip replacement surgery I had back in July. I'm able to get along pretty good now. And so physically, so here this next week, one of my friends and colleagues, Robert Payne, and he's been on the show as well, we're going to start going out preaching and make that a regular basis each week, and I'll probably be going out more than that. We also got permits down at the state capitol, a great opportunity. They're free, and we could take advantage of it. Sacramento has their share of events as well, though some of the events over the years have been discontinued. This is a jazz festival. That was a big event in the springtime. But we want to cover Sacramento like Jerry Benson does San Diego. That is what I feel the Lord would have me to do now. I did want to mention something. I recently took a trip. In fact, I just got back from Juneau, Alaska. I was up there for about a week and a half visiting my two adult sons and their respective families. And I've been up to Juneau there a few times before. I do know the pastor quite well of the church, and this particular church has grown since the last time I was up there. Anyway, here's how the conversation went. I asked him, I said, hey, you know, remember that time I came up a long time ago and we walked downtown and we had some tracks and we just were out there going down to the highways and byways, if you will, and witnessing to whoever we came in contact with. He goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. And so we had some conversations. And I says, well, does anybody in your church do that now? Is there somebody that regularly goes out? And he goes, well, and he started to hem-haw around and even said, you know, look, I'm trying to make excuses. But to answer your question, he goes, no, we don't. And then he proceeded to tell me that, you know, the idea with them is it is more of a natural flow of sharing the gospel as it comes up in your daily life. And I understand that. I get that. I believe we should be doing that. But I also mentioned to him, I believe we should also have a time set aside where we purposely go out for sharing the faith, for sharing the gospel with. And like so many other churches, they got a lot of people there, but they don't have anybody that regularly goes out from that church in any kind of capacity to do any kind of witnessing or evangelism out in the streets and or door to door. Several years ago in the city of Juneau, they had the Jesus film when that was popular. I think it was back in the 90s. All the churches got together and they purchased a bunch of those. They went door to door and they gave them to the people to watch. I think the stipulation was, look, you can have the video, you can keep it. We just want to come back and ask you a couple of questions if you think you'll watch it. And so that was a way to share the gospel, and I like that idea. You know, we have to do something. I believe that Juneau, I thought to myself, boy, I'd like to come up here because there's the local people, of course, but they get these cruise ships in during the summer, and hundreds and hundreds of people go through the streets, and even though they're tourists, they aren't going to stay in Juneau. I think the churches up there are responsible to witness to them as well as they come into their sphere of influence. If you're out there today or, you know, your church, I would just encourage you, if you don't have an ongoing ministry of evangelism and outreach, and to start doing that. Coming up here, we're going to get into our teaching section on the tracts and the printed page. And I have just a few various scriptures we're going to be looking at in that. I did want to mention also, I contacted a nursing home here locally in the Sacramento area, and I'm going to be going and doing a Bible study there as I was doing in the Bay Area. Once again, I think that's part of a church's responsibility as well, as to take on even a small church. If you just took on one nursing home or, you know, care center, maybe hospital visitation, the gospel missions that are in town, jail ministry, if you can do that. We could look to scripture and see, you know, what is a local church, you know, what constitutes a church and their activities. We've got a lot of activities in today's modern church here in America. We've got a lot of programs going on. I'm not saying they're all bad, but we've got drifted a lot away from the main thing and the focus of getting the gospel out. I hope you stay tuned to the program. And coming up here, we're going to listen to Pastor Austin Huggins give us a word about First Love Missions, and then we'll be right back after that. Thank you for listening.
Greetings in the name of Him who does all things well. This is Pastor Austin, the Vice President of First Love Ministries, and it is a joy to have you tuning in with us here at First Love Radio. You may not know some of our other ministries, so I would like to take a moment and share the ministry of First Love Missions with you. And yes, that's correct. We have an active and thriving foreign mission work. If you haven't already, please check out our website at missionsfirstlove.org. Again, that address is missionsfirstlove.org, where you will find our latest field updates and mission reports in the areas we operate in, such as the Philippines, Nigeria, Nepal, Kenya, and more. We are following the Lord's Great Commission to take the gospel towards the end of the world. We preach biblically sound messages and host overseas conferences. We conduct missionary radio and do live Q&A and disperse thousands of our quality books, booklets, and tracts from First Love Publications absolutely free to the pastors and churches fighting the good fight of faith with few resources in the third world. If you would like to explore ways how you might get involved, again, please visit our website at missionsfirstlove.org. On behalf of First Love Missions, we would like to thank you for listening to First Love Radio. Stay tuned and God bless.
Well, the teaching today, I thought, what scriptures could I use to share about the printed page? And what made me even think of this was a few years ago when I was studying the book of Acts, and specifically chapter 8, Philip the Evangelist, my favorite Bible character, and of course the people of that time. It said they went out everywhere preaching the word, and I was looking at the different words for preaching, and you have, you know, the word caruso, which means like a public herald. English transliteration of this word called laleo, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but that just means a speech. There's also the word evangelijo, which means the good news, the evangelism. That's where we get that word. And so there's different words for speaking and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, in the definition of caruso in Strong's Concordance, the definition, one of them was to publish. And I never thought of that, you know, the publishing the gospel. We verbally speak it, of course, when we're preaching. It tells us in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But also we have the printed page. If someone reads, you know, it says that the scriptures are wise for salvation. Talks about that in Timothy. That was initially the first passage I thought of, was to say, well, this means that, you know, it's a published page. Now, of course, back in the Bible days, they had to hand copy stuff until the invention of the printing press. And now we have mass production of any kind of print, very modern and sophisticated, and a lot of things can get printed and for a fairly cheap amount of money. Scriptures I then decided to use in this was just to remind us of a couple. Jesus, who in John chapter 5, you know, he's talking about Moses and talking to the Pharisees, that he said, Moses wrote about me, and if you believed Moses, you would believe my words. So there was always a reference by Jesus and others in the New Testament there, referring to the Old Testament scriptures that had already been written down. Oftentimes, Jesus, most of the time when he would be talking to the Pharisees, he would say, have you not read? You know, for example, when they confronted him about eating on the Sabbath day, you know, the disciples were picking heads of grain, and he said, well, have you not read where David, you know, in the days of the Abiathar the priest, where he and the men, they weren't supposed to eat the showbread, but they ate it, is talking about the Sabbath. He often said that, have you not read? And so we have a legitimate cause for reading, getting out the gospel in print and tracts. And I would say that if you're too shy to talk to somebody, you can hand them a gospel tract or literature, some sort of pamphlet, or just the Bible, New Testament. Challenge them to read it. I remember one of my jobs I had as a young man. I met up with a boss years later that hired me, and he had become a Christian, and I had become a Christian, and I asked him, how did you become a Christian? And he said, well, it all started back in the store that we used to work at, and he says, you remember a man named Bob Farley? And I said, of course, he was the one that was instrumental in witnessing to myself. And so he says, well, he gave me a Bible. And I get, you know, and then challenged him to read it, or asked him if he would consider reading it. Well, so he started off by being given a Bible to read. And I believe that we can't go wrong if we can get someone, not that it's up to us, but sort of a figure of speech, but if we can get somebody to read the Bible, read the scriptures, I believe that the Word of God will not return void, as it tells us in Isaiah. And the printed page is something that is, I believe, cost effective. Yeah, the tracts a lot of times get discarded. A lot of the times you have to look at it as seeds sown. And just like in the parable of the sower, you're going to find that a lot of the seeds fall by the wayside. A lot of the times we go to somewhere like an event, like going to the ball game, and we hand out tracts to all the people that are coming out of the game. or going in, depending on when we go. Well, anyway, they throw a lot of them on the ground. They get discarded. But I always say this, they can't possibly read it till they take it. And we never, you know, till we get it into their hands, not all of them are going to take them, and even the ones that take them are not going to read them. But if we can get them into their hands, perhaps they'll read them, and we put a prayer behind it and ask the Lord to bless that effort. And I've heard many stories of people actually getting saved by a gospel tract. One lady in my hometown actually got and shared in the church at the time testimony when we were trying to promote the idea of giving out gospel tracts, that she came and shared her testimony where she got one of these comic book tracts in a case of beer. And she was an unbeliever. She was going down to the liquor store and buying a case of beer to go to have a party. And she opened up the case at the house there after she got it home. And there's a tract. She read it. And I don't believe, as the story went, she didn't get saved right then and there. But that started the process, and she was saved shortly after. But that tract was effective in getting the gospel to her. And I believe, my friends, that we could use more effort in getting out these publications. And so that's why this show wanted to focus a little bit on that, is to make sure that we're handing out as much of the Bibles as we can. If we can get people to read about the gospel, read about Jesus. One of the things that got me interested in the things of God prior to my salvation, but I think the Lord used it, it was a book. It was a small paperback book. I didn't really care to read. I'm not a big reader now, but it interested me. And the book was called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. Now, this was a popular book back in the 70s. I know that the Reformed people cringe at that book, because first of all, they don't believe in the scenario of Hal Lindsey's eschatology. I understand that. But one of the things that the book accomplished, because so many people read it, I was intrigued to understand how Bible prophecy applied today. I was thinking the Bible was stories about Daniel in the lion's den, Jonah and the whale, that sort of thing. I believe those stories, but I thought, oh, they're archaic. They don't really speak to me today, or, you know, the future. When I found out the Bible spoke a lot about the future yet to come regarding the end of the age, I was intrigued, because I thought, you know, if this is true, if these things come to pass, that makes the Bible true. And if that's the case, I better really listen to it. But I believe that was the Lord using that to draw me into the things of God. And so I started looking up the scriptures on those, on that subject myself. Now, back in the late 70s, there was a lot of something in the air. There was a lot of talk of the coming of Jesus Christ. Everyone was looking forward to his coming really soon. And there was a great expectation during that time. And so there was a lot of talk and a lot of conferences and a lot of books written on the subject. And I suppose in some ways it could bring a disservice. I don't think they were setting dates. They were just saying, look, it's very near, you know, be ready. I think they were saying it was going to happen, you know, in this generation and so on and so forth. And I think people expected Christ to come back real quickly, but he hasn't come back yet. We still look for the hope of that. Anyway, get the Bible or other tracts, and again, you can order them from our web pages, the various web pages, and get those into your hands to hand out. There's a lot of things that we could hand out to people for the sake of the kingdom of God. All right, my friends, with that, we're going to continue on with the program. Stay tuned. Hello, this is Larry Du Bois, and I want to take a moment to share with you a great way to get out the gospel, and that is the use of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is marketed individually for a reason, and that is that in John chapter 20, it says, These things I have written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. And so the author, John the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had written his gospel so that people would come to a genuine saving faith. I can think of nothing better to give out to unbelievers, or even a brand new believer, than the gospel of John. They're small and can easily fit into a purse or a pocket, and taken on the bus or in a number of other situations, they are just a great resource. On my website, sharingyourfaithradio.com, at the very top, you'll see a tab that says Good News. Right below that, it'll say Gospels. Go to that page. I have a number of websites listed there where you can order either free Gospels of John or at a minimal cost. These will help you in your witnessing and your discipleship ministry. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and may God bless you.
Hi, this is Bobby Hamlin, and welcome to our Share Day.
And I'm Rich Homeris.
Right now, as we continue with Share Day, we're hearing from a dear brother in the Lord, Larry Dubois, whose ministry is out on the streets, wherever the Lord takes him.
Larry, you have an interesting work that you do. You have the street ministry. Can you explain a little bit about what that is and how the Lord called you to minister in the highways and byways of life?
Basically, right now, I do what is called open air or street preaching. I particularly use an amplifier in my endeavors with a microphone out there for various reasons, but I've been doing a street preaching ministry for over 12 years now. 8 of those years has been full time. Prior to that, I did a lot of one-on-one ministry, handing out tracts. I went door to door, virtually every kind of evangelism ministry you could think of. The day I was saved, the day I was born again, I just had this thought. If this is true, that is the gospel, if this is true, then the most important thing is to tell as many people as I can about Jesus Christ before it's too late. And then, of course, years later, looking back on that thought, I realized it was the Lord calling me into more of an evangelism ministry because it's what he put in my heart to think of as something important. That's kind of how I got into it, and through just trial and error and other people helping me along the way, just been doing evangelism for the most part.
Now, how is that received? I know when you go to a crowded area and you hear somebody yelling or shouting or proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord," or "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," they seem to be repelled and push away. But how is it being received as you go forth into the highways and byways of life to truly declare God's word? Are people gathering and staying and receiving the word?
Well, interesting enough, you know, back in the old days, it was the primary means of communication was to give out the gospel or to give out a message through the open air before all the modern technologies. However, when you go out there into the streets with a lot of people, it is a little bit shocking. That's why I like to use the amplifier, because with the amplifier, I don't have to raise my voice as loud as you have to without one. So I can have more of a conversational tone. And with my personality and the way God has gifted me, I feel that my presentation is sort of benign in the fact that if they're going to be offended, then let them be offended at the message, not at the way I present it. That's kind of my rule of thumb. But as far as how people receive it, for the most part, I would say across the United States, I've been all over America. I preached in over 200 cities in all 50 states. Well, with the exception of Hawaii, I haven't been there, all 49 states. And what I would say is the majority of the people are indifferent and apathetic towards the gospel. You have a small percentage that is visibly hostile, and then you have a small percentage that is favorable. In that percentage that's favorable, probably a lot of them are already Christians. I do draw crowds sometimes, not too often. It is, most part, it's people just walking by, ignoring you. But you don't know what's going on. You know, God's given them the ears to hear, hopefully.
You know, sometimes going out, wanting to declare one's faith, It's not as easy as we think. There are laws and regulations. Do you find that sometimes there are barriers where people want you to move on, or you need to have a permit in order to proclaim God's word here?
Yeah, that happens quite often, and it is good to be knowledgeable about the laws and about what you can and can't do. In fact, I've written an article on my website. In fact, one of my podcasts have been on the police and the street preacher. Of my dealings with the police over the years, I found that a lot of times the officers don't know the municipal codes. And so to know them ahead of time, and I've gotten a lot of favor with the police over the years and able to use my amplifier. Usually it's the issue over using an amplifier. I've never been told you cannot preach the gospel. So it's always an issue over the amp. You get a lot of security guards out there. You get a lot of these, what they call city ambassadors, that try to sometimes take the law into their own hands. So you got to kind of, you learn over time. You get a bit savvy. You got to know when to stand your ground and when to move on.
Do you do this alone, or is there others that join you as prayer partners and also that trade off in being able to declare God's word?
Well, first of all, I belong to a local church, Christ Bible Church, in Pleasanton, California area. There is a number of people in the church that are, of course, praying, and there's several people that will go out as well. And we got some other street preachers. In most major cities, especially on the West Coast, I have established over the years contacts with people that I hook up with, if you will. When I get into that city, I got friends in other churches I've made relationships with over the years, so I work within them. But I do find myself going out by myself a lot of the time, because most of my preaching is done downtown in major cities during the middle of the day, and not a lot of guys, that are doing it part-time can join me at that time. So I do find myself, I'm out there by myself.
Now, you also broaden your outreach. You have a radio program. How do you blend the two between your actual ministry on the streets and then also going to the airwaves?
Well, the radio program has come in very handy because it's been a great outlet for me to share not only the gospel. Each program I try to share a short version of the gospel presentation. Who knows, we'll hear that, unbelievers or whatever. But a lot of it, of course, is sharing my experiences and hopefully encouraging the body of Christ, equipping them, challenging them to be themselves sharing their faith in evangelism. And it's been quite nice because it kind of helps me to fulfill the passion to share the faith and still be involved in ministry. So I don't go out on the street as often as I used to. The radio show, it fits nicely in that together.
Now, do you have any stories of some of the experiences you've encountered as you've gone to different areas?
Well, one of the most notable stories I was in downtown Oakland preaching the gospel one time, so several years ago. I noticed that a woman was listening, and she kind of moved closer and sat on this bulkhead thing, and I just kept preaching, and it appeared to me that she was upset, and she was crying. Well, I finished my little discourse, and so I go up trying to go, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "Oh, yes, I'm just repenting." That's why she was crying. She heard the gospel, and whatever the Lord was touching her, she was repenting at that point in time. And it was just a brief little encounter with her, but it was a very exciting little moment. I've had a few situations like that. One memorable experience, because people in the audience might want to know this question too. It's probably the most common question I get, and when they hear I do street preaching, is because it does have the reputation of like a used car salesman or some sort of crooked attorney. They get their reputations. And so when you tell somebody you're a street preacher, you don't know what they're thinking. They're thinking of some madman out there just screaming. I had a pastor. I was up in Seattle preaching one time the gospel. It's my hometown, Seattle, Washington. And I had a man come up, and I could tell he wanted to talk to me. He's waiting in the wings. So I stopped, and he says, "Do you think what you're doing is effective?" He introduced himself as a pastor. And before I had a chance to explain, he interrupts me and tells me what he does in evangelism that's, according to him, effective. And what he was describing was friendship evangelism, how you befriend somebody, you witness to them over time, you get to know them, you go out to eat, and eventually you invite them to church, and then in theory, of course, they get saved after a time. And so he gets done, and I said, "You know what you described to me there? That's reaping." And I said, I gave him the scripture there in John chapter 4 where Jesus said, "One sows and another reaps." but a sower and reaper rejoice together. And I go, you're describing a reaping. To do a reaping ministry like you just described, there's no other way better than what you just described. But what I'm doing out here, I'm sowing seed. I'm the sower. I want to sow as much seed as far and wide as I can. And I said, I cannot think of a better way to do it than how I'm doing it here. Well, I think I made him start to think, and he realized, okay, we have some common ground there, and we left friends. Some of my colleagues would have probably jumped down the guy's throat when he asked the question, do you think this is effective? And but I wanted to take the time, and especially people, and I don't know that his question was legitimate at first, so I like to work with people out there the best I can. And you got to remember, before I was a street preacher, I did a lot of one-on-one ministry, and I would just go out in what I call the highways and byways in my small community, and whoever I encountered, not everybody, but most people, I'd go out, we'd be in teams of two or three, we would just go up, see where they're at, maybe pray for them, encourage them, tell them the gospel, that sort of thing, and you know, you provide stuff for the homeless people, it's a all-encompassing ministry, and so it's a lot of fun. And before I did that, I was a coward. So don't think that the Lord takes the foolish things and confounds the wise. I'm not a speaker by nature. I was very timid and shy growing up. I could tell you tons of stories that would embarrass myself. When the Lord got a hold of me, I didn't know it at the time, other than my heart for evangelism, but he wanted me to preach the gospel open air.
You know, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed to declare the full counsel of God. Sometimes you'll see street preachers with the alarming news. You're going to hell. You're damned. You're a sinner. Yes, that's true. But how do you present the full counsel of God when you're out there in the street?
Well, I had a friend of mine who's a street preacher, and he's not afraid to share his opinion, and I was probably one of the better compliments I had one time. He said, Larry, I noticed in your preaching, he goes, you share the severity of God and you share the kindness of God. It's very balanced. And so I do share the whole counsel of God out there. I do talk a lot about sin and judgment, and when I do get to the subject of hell, I do more of a teaching on hell than I would do a preaching. I suppose to certain circles, they would say I'm a hellfire and brimstone preacher, but among the hellfire and brimstone preachers, they would say, no, he's not. So, but I like to focus on the person of Christ and the work of Christ. When someone's done listening to me, the question should be answered, why do I need to be saved and how can I be saved? Why do I need to be saved and how can I be saved? Those two questions I like to answer. I like to focus on the person of Christ. I love sharing on the crucifixion, the resurrection in great detail. Sometimes it's hard to do that. You go back to a gravitational pull to just repeat the gospel over and over in cycles using different scriptures because you have new people coming across your path every couple minutes. So you want to keep giving out the gospel. But I experimented one time up in Sacramento. I was up there and I noticed that people were coming by, and I focused on the crucifixion of Christ, and I figured God will have them hear whatever they hear. I drew a crowd. They like to hear about Christ. I think God likes to hear about Christ, so he draws them to hear about Christ. I focus on the crucifixion. I got a good crowd, and I just explain who Jesus is. The saying is sort of redundant. It's in a lot of churches, but the saying that says to know him and to make him known, that's basically it.
Do you have any words of challenge or words of comfort you'd like to share with those that are tuning in that may be passing by on the dial?
Oh, absolutely. If you don't know Christ, of course, I would encourage you to, it says in Jeremiah, that seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's no other issue is important in your life right now. No matter how crazy your life is, there's no more important issue than your eternal soul and where you will go when you die and come to the cross and learn about Christ and make peace with God through him. And for those that are already saved, they're already Christians, and maybe you are contemplating how to share your faith, or should I? And of course, the greatest thing, our greatest obstacle, it seems to be, is fear, that sort of thing. But just to encourage you, to remind you that we're not going to have forever. I regret a lot of the time. I wasted a lot of time in my youth after I was saved and didn't get about the Father's business. So I would encourage you not to delay and waste your time. Find out what the will of God is and then do it. But if you can talk to people, pray and ask the Lord to give you the power, the words to express your faith. And then you got to step out in faith and share. And don't be afraid of making a mistake or what people think of you. Just think of just all of the implications around the gospel. That would be my word to you today.
Yes, the power and love of God in Christ Jesus, as we're told in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
And we thank Larry Du Bois for visiting with us today as he goes forth into the world to share his faith in Christ. This is our share day. If you'd like to contact us or make a financial donation to this nonprofit listener-supported ministry, our mailing address is simply Family Radio, Oakland, California, 94621. That's Family Radio, Oakland, California, 94621.
Or you may contact us or share a financial gift on our secure site online at familyradio.org. That's familyradio.org.
This week's Help Wit. Well, you know, Jesus, when he called Peter and the rest, he said, "Do not fear, I am going to make you fishers of men." And when we use that analogy, we think of fishing for men, I think of tracts as bait or lures. And so you're going to find that different tracts will appeal to different people than others. And so you sort of have to experiment with that. There is different tract philosophy as well, believe it or not. Some believe that if I'm going to take the trouble of handing someone something and they're going to actually take it, it should be worthwhile for them to read. And so they like to get them something that is fairly thorough. Other people believe in just giving them something quick. In today's society, people aren't so apt to read a long message on a piece of paper, but they will look at a nice colorful tract that has a short and to the point message. A lot of the tracts are very clever, using some provocative event or something on the cover. Years ago, we had a tract that was made out of a postcard, and it had the picture of the Golden Gate Bridge, and so that was a big hit in the city of San Francisco. Some believe that one size fits all versus a specialty tract. Now, I've gone back and forth in this over the years. The simplicity of having one basic tract that you could give out to anyone. It's just very universal, has just the gospel on it, nothing fancy. Other times, it may call for a specialty tract. The problem with specialty tracts are, if they are targeted to a certain audience, you may not have them with you when you need them, or you may take them and then not use them. One size fits all tract is, of course, available at any time you need it. The times in the past where I definitely would like to use a specialty track is at a sporting event. Years ago in my hometown of Everett, Washington, they had a farm team in the Pacific Coast League baseball, and they were a farm team of the San Francisco Giants. And so we had a track at the time that was by the American Track Society, and it was a testimony of Dave Dravecki. He was a Giant baseball pitcher who had lost use of his arm and a very serious thing. He had surgery. They called him the comeback kid. Well, he was a Christian, and so he made the American Track Society made a tract concerning his testimony, and of course it had the Giants logo on the front. And so nearly everyone that was going into the game that day, a couple thousand people, took those tracts. So I believe in specialty tracts for certain things. There is the issue of making your own tracts. All I would say in that is make sure the type is not too small. Now, when we're handing out tracts, make sure you look up at people. I'm the worst offender in this. I worked in retail, and so they said, you need to look at the people. Don't look away. And I had a tendency. I was shy, and I couldn't look people straight in the eye. So it was real work. But I found this to be true. I experimented one time. I was having a hard time handing out tracts, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to try to smile. And a smile, it's amazing how they'll take attract when you smile. Try to be genuine, of course, and sincere. The other aspect in handing out tracts, I would say, this is my personal opinion, is don't respond to negativity. If someone gets offended or they make a snide remark, don't chase them down the street with your words. I try to remain silent. If you do say something, maybe, you know, we'll bless you anyway, or, you know, thank you anyway, be polite. Just leave it for the next guy. You know, they're not going to take the track, so by you telling them, oh, you know, you're going to go to hell, that doesn't really help anything, and that kind of sours it for the next person that may try to witness to that person. Now, you got to be alert out there. I handed out a lot of tracks in the city of San Francisco down what we would call the Market Street cable car corridor, and it's the turnaround at the Palo Market streets there, and it's, you're like a sardine in there. There's a lot of people that come by. One time, I had people coming both ways, and so I had a very stiff postcard-style track, and I was handing them. All of a sudden, I turn to hand out to some other people. I almost poked this lady in the eye with the corner of the track. She was about the same height as my hand. Anyway, so you got to be careful out there, be alert. There was a testimony of one time I was in San Francisco, and I went to hand a guy a track, and he's very calm, and he says in this little soft voice, oh, is that a little Bible track you're trying to give me? Yes. And he says, well, oh, I just thank you so much, and he takes it from me. And then he just went berserk. He started jumping up and down. He ripped the track in a million pieces and then cursed me. So you never know what you're going to get out there. Now, sometimes I really go out on a limb telling you these stories because I don't want to make you afraid out there. I thrive on that. It's very exciting out there. I do have, most of the time, no one's going to do that. It's very hard though to deal with rejection. So just make sure that you realize they're maybe rejecting not necessarily the gospel, but people don't like to be handed out a lot of stuff. I know I don't, but if it's an offense to the gospel, remember they're rejecting Christ and not you personally. Understand that going in, most people aren't going to be that friendly, but don't be discouraged. Go out there. There's many people that will take them. I can tell you, I know personally of a woman that was saved instrumentally through a tract, and that was, of course, a crazy situation. She got a track out of a case of beer at a 7-Eleven. Someone went in there and put tracks in there when no one was looking or something. And she got home with a case of beer and the track was there. She read it and was saved shortly after that. So she has a great testimony. Now, I can't leave you today without telling you, if you'd like to order tracks and other materials, you can go to the First Love Publication website, firstlovepublication.org. And you can order free tracts there for your personal use or even outreaches. That's it for today on Help With.
Sing praise. All of us can come into right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must come through Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and although you die, if you believe in me, you'll live. And all who believe in me and live will never die. And this was the promise. This was the sayings of this one Jesus of Nazareth. Some thought he was a madman. Some thought he was demon-possessed. But he was able to do the miracles that no one else could do. He did so many miracles, they couldn't even keep track of them all. He raised the dead, he cleansed lepers, had power over all sickness and disease. He had power over the physical laws of nature by demonstrating it by walking on water, calming the storm. He had power over the spiritual underworld. The demons were subject to him. They were in fear of him. He had power over death itself. He raised himself from the dead. He was crucified on a cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead to conquer death. It says, oh death, where's your sting? Oh Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have victory over the grave in him, this eternal life that God gives as a gift. It says, by grace we have been saved through faith. This is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, why do we need to be saved? What are we being saved from? The answer, in short, is we're actually being saved from God Himself. You see, God, although a loving God, is also a God of holiness, a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. And He must, by His very nature, punish sin and the anger of God's wrath against our sin on the cross.
Well, we've entered into our time where this week we got question and answer portion. We do have two questions today. It's actually, the first one's a two-part so question. I'll go ahead and read that one. We'll start off. It says, do you think the church's emphasis on evangelism is fading? If so, why? Well, that's a good question. Of course, this is a subjective opinion, perhaps. I don't have any hard statistics. I do know people. I've experienced Christian life since the late 70s. I have had other people that have experienced before that, and even in ministries. I didn't get involved in a ministry right away. I know people that have, and they have seen the evangelistic emphasis from the church. Now, we want to clarify, we're talking about the church here in America, the visible church, of course. You know, I think the true church, God's true remnant, or whatever you would like to call it, the people that are truly sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, those that are born again from above, that doesn't mean we cannot be dormant in our witnessing or stale or anything else. But I think for the most part, that real church, the Bride of Christ, is alive and well, and we are out there evangelizing or having some sort of missionary efforts of some sort at some level. The visible church, however, incorporates, you know, all the churches out there, different denominations and whatnot, the modern church, the liberal church. But I do definitely would say the emphasis on evangelism is faded. I just don't get it. On the surface, I just don't understand. We think of the things of the faith. You know, we think of prayer. We think of Bible reading, worship, fellowship. You know, those are the main means of grace as we conduct our life as a believer in Christ. And evangelism is another one I would categorize up there with those that I just mentioned. Evangelism is something that we should be doing. It should be a natural outflow of our relationship with Christ. And not only are we commanded to do it, but I believe that if we have the Holy Spirit and He is going to cause us to do it, we have to rely on Him. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Remember, the apostles in the early church, after the day of Pentecost, when they were fully filled with the Spirit at that time, the Holy Spirit came in a particular way in a ministry. He was the comforter, and He was sent to give them power to witness. Well, the testimony Peter and John gave before the Sanhedrin was that they had said that, well, we can't stop. We can't help to speak what we've seen and heard. In other words, you couldn't stop them if you wanted to. They were threatened with death. They were beaten. Some did lose their lives, and eventually I think they all were martyred, of course, except for the Apostle John. But my point being is, what a contrast from back then till now. You know, back then, they couldn't keep them quiet if you wanted. It says we can't but help to speak the things that we've seen and heard. And now we have to basically beg people to come out and be part of an evangelistic outreach. Sometimes we go so far, and I won't do it anymore, but I found myself getting caught in the trap where we got to bait them. Well, we're going to have a barbecue when we do it, and we're going to have all this fun stuff, so we have to bribe them to get them out there or something. One gentleman in the body of Christ, of course, being facetious, he said, well, just pay them. We'll pay you so much money to go out. Well, you'd get people to do it then if you paid them. But I think the emphasis in evangelism is strongly diminished in today's church. It's not even thought of. It's an afterthought at best. And if you do evangelize, and if you're into that, you're looked at as some sort of oddball or something that, you know, oh, that's, what are you doing? That's not for today. We somehow get this idea that we're going to offend people, you know, and there's all this fear of man, all kinds of excuses and reasons. But if we just get out there and tell people about Jesus like we're supposed to, well, now you can't get people out there. And I refuse to try to do that. I find myself beating my head against the wall, thinking, what can I do to help a church, get them stirred up, being a leader, get them out there to evangelize, help equip them to do it, when they just don't want to do it? What I found is, I can't be the Holy Spirit. You know, if the Holy Spirit ain't getting them out there, what am I to do to get them out there? You know, we had a door-to-door ministry in the church here a while back, and it got a spike in the arm, if you will. It spiked up with some encouragement from the pastor, but it was short-lived. It died out. I think they were doing it because the pastor wanted them to. And so it didn't last. We need to be out there evangelizing. And I think the reason why, now, if so, why, the question, second part of that question. Well, I think it has to do with the great apostasy. I think we are in the last days. There'll be a great falling away, and we're seeing that in the church as part of that falling away, as people are less likely to speak forth the gospel. I've always said one of the main things that keep people from sharing the faith is fear. The other thing is being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, being ashamed of Jesus. In the presence of peer pressure, I think also if someone's life is not reflecting a walk in Christ, if they're living in a sinful lifestyle, of course, that's going to be a deterrent. They're not going to be so gung-ho to be going out there and sharing their faith. I think another thing could be that they're so caught up in the world, and I see this a lot. There's a lot of other things that will come in and choke out any kind of evangelistic effort you want to do with the local church, because people are too busy doing other things. Generally, it's entertainment, you know, or they're overcommitted in their time with all these other projects. And the projects, maybe, or whatever their time in and of themselves isn't bad, but it's consuming them. It becomes really a distraction, at least a distraction at best, an idol. I should say at worst, an idol. And so that's why, I think. So I hope that answers that question. Now, question number two, does it talk about evangelism in the book of Revelation? Well, it certainly does. We have the angel. The first thing that comes to mind is the angel. Revelation 14:6. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water." And so there's an actual angel that's going through the midst of heaven and preaching the gospel. The everlasting gospel, I guess I take this as a last-ditch effort of the Lord Jesus Christ to give more people time to repent, more space to repent, to turn before it's too late. And we're down to the wire there because the judgment is coming. It is already has come, and it's almost completed. And so you got an angel going out now. The everlasting gospel, calling people to fear God, to repent. The other place in the book of Revelation, I believe, it doesn't say specifically, but I believe that if you do a little drawing conclusions in Revelation 7, the 144,000, the witnesses of the Jewish nation, I believe that those are basically Jewish evangelists. And they will go and be preaching the gospel as well. So the gospel is definitely spoken of in the book of Revelation. And that's all we have time for with our questions today. I hope you enjoyed them. And by the way, if you have a question, of course, you can always email me, lawrencedubois@hotmail.com.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.